And Boyabo has already introduced the burden on Babylon. Last week, it came up in our discussions, and it wasn't my mind to deal with it today, but I think there is a moving of the spirit to look at Babylon in a nutshell. So let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we are such a people who are in need of glorifying you, who are in need of actually appreciating the fullness of your mercy, the fullness of your provision unto us, your children. For you are so great that your greatness is taken for granted. We thank you for the pureness of your thought, the richness of your thought unto us. We know you are not abstract, that you are real. You can see our hearts. You can see the burdens. You have hands to touch. And it says when you touch the mountain, it spoke. You see the mountains in our lives. You see the struggles. You see the down sitting and the uprising, as the psalmist will say. And most important of all, you hear every faintest cry of our hearts, because you have ears to hear. Lord, may we be like you today, to hear your voice also. May we be like you, to see like you see, even your face, even that glory of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. May we be able to touch the reality of Zoe life, of that eternal life. Lord, may we come into eternity and come into resurrection. For you say you are the resurrection. Lord, let this thing not be abstract, a thing in our minds. But Lord, let this resurrection be reality for our emotions, our desires, our will, the conduct of our lives, the testimony of our pathway. For I said the testimony of the righteous is that to be brighter and brighter. So Lord, let the true light shine in our hearts. Let it shine upon our face. Let it shine upon our paths. Let the darkness be judged. Let all the cobwebs, all the doubts, all the evidence and tokens of desolation, may they be taken away, O God. So Lord, we should be renewed. We should be transformed by the renewal of our mind. Lord, let there be a renewal of our mind. Let there be a reinvigoration. Let the life of God, let that flow of your life be apportioned to us today. Let the head feed the body. We open our hearts, O God, that you might feed us. Give us this bread, O God, and we will not die. We shall live forever. For he that will eat this bread will overcome every dimension of death. As we look at this web of deception called Babylon, this thing that the enemy has woven and seem to be getting away with it. As the psalmist will say, O God, search me, O God, and know my heart. Lord, deal with every dimension of Babylon in our hearts. Lord, restore the vision and the burden and the fervency of this word. We confess We have long departed from it. It's long died. But he said, the smoking flask you will not quench. Lord, let that which is dead and ready to be taken away be restored. Let this garment of a name, of church, of religion, organization, let these cloaks, O God, be taken away from us. These great clothes that we wear, Lord, of my coming to a reality. Let deep call unto deep, O God. And let us come into that place of an open-faced relationship with you. For as it might write upon our hearts, as it was upon Mount Sinai, let it be even in this place of Zion, O God. Write your law upon our hearts. Put it in the inward man, even in the conscience. Bring forth a new government, a new law. Even that law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that law of liberty in the spirit, which no man can teach his brother. Grant us that revelation, O God, of you, of this whole thing, O God. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The heart is full. Where do you start in talking about Babylon? But we was, you know, we will, Briagua has by the Spirit, and we thank God for the Spirit of prophecy. We need so much of the prophetic element, and we thank God for that manifestation this morning. To go to the root of the matter, Babylon. Last two Sundays, Brassam touched on it. He touched on it when he talked about the mind of Christ, and he talked about the head of Saul, who had been captured and taken into the treasure houses of the god of Babylon, or the god of the Philistines. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You know, so I was very excited because I could feel the moving of the Spirit of God to bring an emphasis. Like he talked about those brethren in Togo, you know, the desire to build something, you know, that even when you talk about the tabernacle, something that is symbolic, because of where and what the devil has done in man, in the soul, because of how low the man has come, there will be people, there will be the tendency to build something, to bring it down to the level of man. And because of that, it's important and it is good, as we are being led by the Spirit, to come back to the foundations again, to examine if we have built, if we are like those brethren. We may not do like they are doing, but it's possible that we may be doing other things where we are bringing it down to our level, you know. And what is the level of man? The level of man is that God has a picture in his heart. God wants a son. God wants a relationship. You know, it's all about relationship and not about a form. It's about the heart. You know, your heart being joined with the heart of God. You know, that is what God desires. You know, but when man in his fallen state cannot come into that relationship, he designed something like Adam, you know, clothes, figs, to cover himself, that makes him feel religious, feel that he has come to that place. You know, so we see that that when we look around, we see a system of worship, a form of worship that appears acceptable, but in actual fact is not acceptable. And hopefully in the next 1 hour, I'll try to run through a lot of things, but I will touch on the fundamental things. And whenever the Spirit of God will move us again, then we can go a bit further. Because it's not possible, not even in 3 hours, that we can talk about Babylon. It's not possible. We need a week or probably a month of serious, consistent teaching. There was a man who set out to talk about Babylon. It cost him 40 years of his life to write a book. His name is Alexander Hislop. You know, he thought it was something that he could get over, but it took him 40 years. The most comprehensive investigation into Babylon, you know, in that book called The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. Honestly speaking, I don't see how you can even think of responding to this word when you have not read that book, because there is no way I can speak to you about it. And that is one of the great thoughts of heart, that among the people of God we have lost that basic ability to go like the Berean Christian, to check and to see if these things are so. In our time, we could investigate. We did look to see if those things that they were telling us were true. When people like Brother Mekong, but they will speak, Brother Elton, and so on, we will go. Any book they mention, we'll go and buy it and read. I ensure that I read every word of Hislop. There's another one called Ancient and Modern Babylon by Ralph Waldron. The same thing, he's talking about it. So men have given their lives for this. Even Martin Luther was fighting Babylon. You know, so all down the age, you see men who have stood in isolation, in isolated places, in settings, to give their life for Babylon. We were to resist that concept, that practice, that spirit of Babylon. And their testimonies are there. Daniel was one of them. He was right inside the belly of the fish. You know, so I'm saying that to encourage us to also have our own experience. Because in Mount Sinai, there were two experiences. The first time God wrote the word, but there has to be an experience. So Moses broke the tablet, and this time God said, "You write it yourself." So God was speaking and he was writing. So there is a place where we hear, and there is a place of walking in the things. And for many of us who have heard this word, in these days of walking in it, we see a lot of casualties. Some have even gone back. And I pray that that spirit of backsliding, of reprobate, turning back, will not overtake us. Because there are people who have given their blood for this word. And do not think that anything less from you will be acceptable unto God. Amen. I thought you would say a big amen. So let me start from a beginning. It's not really the beginning, but it's like a semi-beginning. Because the beginning is in Genesis 1, but we can't take that today. So let me start from a more convenient point, Genesis 11, to talk about Babylon. Genesis 11. It's the story of a city called Babel. Now, this Babel, I'm sure you'll forgive me because of time and because of what I feel the Spirit of God wants to achieve. To give an overview, I'm not going to go too much into the scripture. I expect that you'll write and then you can study on your own. So Genesis 11, 1 to 9, is a description, it's an account, it's a testimony of God's dealing upon the thing called Babylon. You see, you have to get into the mind of God to see with his glasses. Only then will it make meaning. Alright, so what is God all after? What is it all about? What is all about is that God poured himself into a clay called earth, and he has to subject that nature of God called soul to every manner of spiritual walking. It has to be, because it is beginning and end. It is the Alpha and the Omega. Yes, it's the eternity. Alright, so it's all in a setting. And it says the God that was, that is, and is to come. And yet, in his wisdom, he has taken out time to bring a walking of himself, to examine his principle in the place where darkness can try the word of God, try the principles of God. So it's all about the principles of God. It will look as though God has no authority. As you look around now, everybody can do anything. But God is working his purpose out. Now, if you understand that, then you can understand Genesis 11. Because God looked down and he saw what men were doing. And in this city called Babel, there was a man that initiated it. And his name is Nimrod. Alright, so if you read, you have to look at the history from Genesis chapter 7, well, actually, Genesis 9, 10, 11, 12 gives you a history of what happened after God had judged the people of Noah. Remember, God judged the world, and it was as a result of darkness or righteousness. So there was unrighteousness before this time, which God judged at the flood. Now, soon after the flood, what happened? The darkness began to multiply again. So I want you to understand that God has a purpose, and that purpose is to judge darkness.
Amen.
And that purpose is that you, God has allowed darkness to come into you or come into me. Right now, I'm in a battle of overcoming the darkness that God has allowed to come in me. Amen. That is the test. That is the whole purpose of life. And where the tree falleth, it will die. The story ends where the tree falls. That means wherever you know it is that you have attained in overcoming that situation, then that's the harvest you have in your life. Amen. We're able to overcome darkness. If you don't overcome darkness, then it forms Babylon. It organizes, it settles, it overcomes that effort of God for you to overcome the darkness. So it has to do with being an overcomer. Amen. So Genesis 11 is the story of this city. Before this time, we were not really giving too much detail about a city. But the Bible says that this man was a city builder. In other words, he was an organizer. You know, he was a motivator of men. He was somebody that could inspire people. You know, and if you read backwards, it says that in those days that this Nimrod was a hunter. You know, it was hunting. If you read some of the older versions of some of the more ancient books, they will tell you he was also a hunter of the souls of men. So it was not just agricultural man, but there was something that he was doing which had to do with the soul of men. So he was a hunter of the souls of men. And out of him came forth a system of religion, of worshipping God. The background of this is that Nimrod had an uncle, had someone called Shem. Shem was one of the sons of Noah. And that was said that when Shem was born, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Meaning that in that setting, it was also a time when men were not calling upon the name of the Lord. They began to organize themselves into social groupings, religious groups, and so on. Now, some of the archaeological findings from Babylon, because you see, everything has been explained. You know, like he was saying, Bayago was saying, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. If you go to well-established museums in London, in Washington, in some of the big historical places, you will see actual artifacts from the city of Babylon. And all those things, even if you have a very good Bible, they will tell you that all the things that were spoken were actually found. On the walls in the city, they could see images of the host of heaven, of all the things they were saying. So they were involved in a system of worship, which included the worship of the host of heaven. It involved the worship of fertility, sexuality. Sexuality was a big thing. Worshipping the host of heaven was another big thing. And if you read down, he says, let us make us a name. Now, one missing point is that there was nothing that said the word of God came to them and said, this is what they should do. It was something that was conceived out of their heart. And the Bible says, the heart of man is what? Is deceitful. There is darkness in the heart of man. And brethren, for us today, anything that proceeds from my heart, it may look good. Because it may be a build, it may be I want to preach, I want to do something, whatever it is. If the Lord has not initiated it, it's Babylon. Okay, I didn't hear the big amen. Any project, any action that I initiate, which God did not give me a word for, is equivalent to Genesis 11. It is the manifestation of let us make us a name. You know, somebody came and told me, God said I should form a church. God told him to me, I said that God does not speak like that anymore. You know, you understand? There are certain languages that God doesn't speak. And one of it is, you know, that you're doing something that amounts to building yourself a name. So it's not just starting fellowship or starting fellowship's sake. You know, God raises cities of refuge. If he hasn't raised one, any other thing you do is what? Babylon. It is just the works of men. After some time, it will crumble. It will not stand the test of time. You know, so we are looking at something that is dealing with the motivation of the heart of men. You are in this building. Why are you here today? Did God tell you to come? If you didn't hear a word from God to be here today, what are you involved in? It's religious work. Amen. So these men, they, out of the abundance of their heart, they say, let us build. And that is one major principle that I want us to lay hold of. Is that the walk with God is a relationship. God has mouth, he speaks. He's a talking God. And he's not just talking to you, he has ears to also hear you. So if God wants you to do something, he's going to speak to you. And you are not just speak to you, he will send somebody else to speak to you to confirm it that this is what I want you to do. Amen. So as a people, we are dealing with a God that is alive, that is real. Amen. And we see in this place that what is happening in Genesis 11 is exactly the same spirit we now see today, of kingdom building, of making a name, of propagating an idea, an understanding, a movement. Somebody said there is an end time movement. So what is it? They say there's no more pastor. Yes, very good. I can do anything I want. And many people are running without hearing any word. And there was a man like that. His name was Lot. He said, Abraham, where is it? He said, Canaan. Canaan, no problem. I'm even tired of this place where I am. Can I join you? But he never made it into Canaan rightly, because he didn't hear a word from God. You know, so that is one of the basic principles, you know, of Babylon, that it is a place where men respond and do things by that which comes out of their hand. So it goes down and down. It says that they made brick and they began to build. So we're looking at the beginning, the historical origin of Babel, that it is centered on what is happening in your village or in my village. It's centered on the worship of Baal, of a god of fertility. That's what they were engaged in, because this Nimrod was worshipped as the god of fertility, sexuality. You know, is the big thing. Taking it at a spiritual level, the Bible says that that those who shall be accounted unto the resurrection, you know, do not need to marry. What is he saying? You see, the energy that comes from the world, that you find in relationships, in men, in human affairs, comes from sexuality. That is the energy. That is the life. And God is raising up another system in which the life, that which drives our life, is not from that dimension, but comes from the life that we get from God, that which flows down from God. So in Babylon, you are looking at Baal worship, and the cardinal aspect of Baal worship is sexuality, followed by violence. Sexuality and violence. And if you look down at your communal experience, you will see those are the two themes that are common, that are running all along. The other thing that that we found in Babylon was the worship of the host of heaven, the worship of the sun, the moon, and so on. The third thing that we found that is common in Babylon was human sacrifice. In all cultures, everywhere, human sacrifice is still practiced even now, but in different form. Now, where they feel that they are decivilized, they change it with animal sacrifice. But human sacrifice was common. And when you look at it, how is it that in every culture, you find the same tendency? And the answer you can find in chapter 10, verse 25. Chapter 10, 25. It says, Genesis 10, 25. And this is backed by a historical and geographical fact. Now, from the days of Noah, there are four generations. It says Noah had a son called Shem. Shem had another son called Arphaxad. And Arphaxad had another son called Salah. And then Salah brought forth someone called Division, Earthquake. That's his name, Earthquake. And his name is Peleg. Alright? And the Bible says, in his days, there was an earthquake. The earth divided, the earth moved apart. So, when you look at the world, you will see that the continents were once together. And it's been shown geographically, and we have seen it in scripture, that as a result of this judgment, the earth physically moved apart. So, this worship of Nimrod, this worship of Baal, the human sacrifice, the sexuality practices, sexuality cults, which are reflected in marriage, death practices, and birth practices, that are global. In all those settings, you have the worship of Baal. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So many people are sleeping. Okay. Can you touch on divide? Put the interlinear. Peleg. It means to split, to divide. If you click on that word, that 06. No. 063. Yeah, 063. Click on it. Okay, well, it goes on to say earthquake. So, there was a dividing of the earth. There was a moving apart of the earth. And so if you look at Africa and South America, you see that they can actually fit very well. When we went to Gabon, what I saw, in fact, I thought I was in Diop, because the same weather, the same technology, the same thing. If you go down to Laka, you think you are in Africa, because it's the same weather, the same grass, the same place. I was in San Francisco, I saw it's the same thing. You know, so the whole world was one, but there was a judgment of God that split the world, and the world moved. Maybe Brassan will tell you about the tectonic plates, the plates, the fault lines, and all those things. Those the physical moving apart. So in the time of Nimrod, they were worshiping the sun, the moon, the hosts of heaven. They regarded sexuality as a form of worship. So they had temples, and in those temples they had places where they had what they call ritual fornication. There were men and women who served that purpose. So this was the culture of the people of Nimrod. And when you look at it, I'm actually reading about my village. When I look at it, I'm actually reading my village. Because you know, I'm a village boy, I grew up in the village. You know, all this Isaac who grew up in town, you don't know about the village culture. But if you know the village culture like me, you will know that Genesis 11 is about my village. Because in my village, we have a fertility cult. Okay, and there are different grades of cult. We have the age grade cult. They have the men cult, we have the women cult, okay. There are masquerades that women don't see. And those masquerades, you dress like the, that's those who worship the masquerade dress like the masquerade. Do you understand? So, when we are worshiping, when they, not we, when they are worshiping one more time. When they are worshiping, you don't wear trousers, because that spirit, that masquerade can only be worshiped with what? Loincloth. Alright. So immediately you line the village, the trouser goes to the box, and you start wearing You understand? So I understand it very well. Okay? I understand very well the spiritism. Okay? The stories about spirits that enter into animal, where they tell you you transfer your spirit into an animal or into a tree. You understand? So that tree is your life. You understand what I'm saying? So, and it is everywhere. It is in every culture. So that's what the Bible is telling us, that historically there has been an ancient form of worship, and that form of worship is the worship of sexuality, fertility. And this fertility god is represented by agriculture. So the farming season is very important. Okay, so when it is time, my grandfather was a big yam farmer, and I used to go to farm with him. Do you believe that? I used to go to farm with that guy. So he had yams. So he was a king of yam. He was a yam king. I had many wives to help him farm his yam. You understand? It takes about a dozen about farming yam. I used to take him to the village so I can learn about farming yam. Amen. So, the whole thing was geared towards the seasons. So, in my village, they have what they call Nkwo, Uri, Afo, Eke. These were names that were the names of spirits. So when you are born in Nkwo, if you are a man, what's your name? Nwa Nkwo. If you are a woman and you are born on Afo, they call it. They have a name. So there is there. So there is a system of worship. I remember when Brother Ibrahim carried us to Okrika, we saw Ukrukaka. So in whichever language you have them, this is the same. You know? So they recognize, they see the sun, this sun, my God, is there in the morning, is there in the night, it doesn't go. So they call him Amadioha. That means he is the Lord of the whole community. They worship him. And there are priests that serve that spirit. You understand? They have the ones that serve the water spirit. And what you see there, any community you go in the world, you see exactly the same thing. All right. So they have, you know, so it was an order. And it so happens that those traditions are being revived. So, where the church had an effect and those cultures died, right now, because the church is becoming weaker. In fact, I remember one brother, I won't mention his name, who went and became a big chief. Because by becoming a big chief, you will change the community. He tried it. He said he wanted to change their gods. They come to say, look here, this God is our God. If you touch it, we shall throw you away. I won't mention his name, but he's somewhere from Delta State. The man, nobody told the man to reverse himself. They gave him 40 days. He said, if in 40 days you do not return our gods to us, we will tell you something. And today, the man is still there. Amen. So, you cannot mix the two. In our lifetime, God has shown us where it has been mixed, and we have seen the result. Amen. Amen. When you read, what's the name? When you read Jeremiah, this is not this. I think it's Isaiah 52. Oh, sorry, Jeremiah 51, 50, 51, 52. Those are the great divine scriptures about Babylon. We can't go into it, but go and look at it. He said that we would have healed Babylon. Can you show us Isaiah 52, 51, verse 6 to 9? Those are famous words. You know, we need to go back to. Because Jeremiah 52. 51:6-9. The whole chapter as Jeremiah 50:51-52, they talk about Babylon. Alright, but this one is classic. He says, flee out of the midst of Babylon. The man said Daniel was one of the vessels taken. Alright, so Daniel has gone his own. It's not me. Alright, I'm one of those vessels. And that Babylon is my village, it's my Port Harcourt, it's Nigeria. So he said, flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his what?
Soul.
So you are talking about soul, emotions, desires, will, mind. It is all interwoven. You know, when I go to my village and they start knocking the drum, Jesus, my head starts rolling because there is a the emotions are there. Don't you understand? He said, flee every man his word. So coming out of Babylon is not changing church address from 109 Agri Road to MIS Church. He said, I've come out of Babylon. That is an intention. You have declared an intention to come out of Babylon. So when you come to this place called MIS, you have just declared an intention to come out of Babylon. Babylon begins when the soul, the mindset, the emotions, the desire, that is, you know, it begins to change. God is a lifetime of God breaking down those things that have been built up in the recesses of the mind. So be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a vengeance. If pastor is bad, and I come out from 109 Agri Road, I'm not a pastor. But if after 10 years, I say, well, it doesn't really matter, we need leadership, and I form pastor, I have now classified myself under those whose vengeance, under whose, upon whom God's vengeance will come upon. So if the end time church now has pastors, and all the dimensions. By the way, one of the things I didn't talk about, one of the principles of Babylon is hierarchy. There has to be an order. It's always there. If you go into lodge, there's 33 degree masons. And beyond that, you have the grandfathers, the grand masons. You understand? And you, those who are on step one don't know what is happening at 33 degree. Don't you understand? They don't know. They never tell you. Because you have initiated from degree 1 to degree 2. There's initiation. If you're not initiated, you cannot be given the secrets that go at that level. And that is, you know, that cannot be accepted in the house of God, that you cannot have that hierarchy. So one of the principles is a hierarchy. If Babylon had been a golden cup in a lost hand that made all the earth drunken. And last week we gave the principle that when you find something that all the earth is doing, step back. That's one principle. You may not understand everything, but when you see everybody doing it, move back a little bit, one step back, and say, God, what is that thing? Then he will speak to you. Amen. I thought I heard a big amen. That's because the Bible says we cannot follow the multitude to commit sin, is it not? We cannot be like the others. You know, there must be something different. That's one of the things I'm saying, God. Every place where I am, there must be something different about me. I must be a life giver. I must be doing something. I can't just be the same with the crowd. He said, the nations have drunk of her wine, therefore the nations are very good. The nations are what? Mad. The Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her. Take balm for her pain. You know, in those days we say we'll go somewhere and heal it. We'll go there, we shall reform them. When we entered, we started shaking our body. They called us, they come. This is our church. Our rules cannot be changed. If you want to follow us, conform to our rules. If not, we are going to throw you away out of our church. You can never hear Babylon. It says, take balm for her pain, if so be she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon. But she is not here. That it is a, I don't know, Sister Abby, what English is that? Is it a present past tense continuous? That she is not in eternity healed. Amen. We cannot hear Babylon. You know, I told you last week when I went to, I was thinking about it. One of my friends, we were sleeping, you know, on one bed somewhere. Today has a big church. I saw him somewhere. He said, he told me he has 88 churches worldwide. 88 churches worldwide. Amen. There's only one response to Babylon. What is it? Flee. Amen. Hallelujah. I saw another one. I want to, today is not the name for. I was passing the road. Isaac, you know him. Isaac knows him. Isaac was one of those who pray for him. He is a world evangelist. I saw his name. His name starts with J. J O. No, not for that. Okay, I'll make sure his name is Johnson. I will finish complete the rest because those who know him know him. I saw his big picture. Say, comes to town. When he was going, I called him and said, bro, this thing, there will be trouble. And he said, no, we have to go preach the gospel. I have to preach the gospel. I said, okay, now. Amen. I'm telling you stories, real story. We would have healed Babylon. But you cannot heal Babylon. Amen. So, you can read it down. The forsaker, let us go everyone into his own country. For her judgment reacheth unto heaven. Eh? And she's lifted up even to the skies. Cannot be. If you go to Revelation 17:18, you see Babylon. Say her cup has come to the full. It says, with such violence shall Babylon be thrown down. They threw her into the, say, that is how God is going to deal with it. So Babylon is something that is God is passionate about. And we cannot excuse it. Praise the Lord. Last week we talked about some of the major pillars of Babylon. And this affects us because we find that those of us who do not have the foundation run into problems. How do we run into problems? When we have children, how do we dedicate the children? When we have children, how do we train our children? When we want to get married, how do we get married? When someone dies, or we lose someone who's close to us, how do we bury them? You can hide your head in the sand, and like the ostrich, raise your head so you don't get involved. You are separated from the world, no problem. But the day they say your father has died, they are waiting for you in the village. Amen. You must interact with them. Amen. And if you happen to be a first son, then that means your blessing is going to be much. Because you are going to be the one that will go and announce the story. Amen. So, there is a practicality about it. About the systems of the world. We have come out of the world. But the Bible says that He is not going to take us out of the world. We will be in the world. So, how do we deal with these settings? How do we get married? And we do that without mixing with the culture of the world. Because I try to give you the history. Every tradition, not just in Africa, globally, came from Nimrod. Is it not so? After the flood, every other person has come from Noah, is it not? Alright? So whether it's Calabari or Isibo or Wundoki or Yoruba, wherever, whatever it is, it is. In fact, if you are Calabari here, actually the name starts with C. C-A-L. They corrupted it to K. Because the Calabari came from Calabar. And the Calabar came from Egypt. I'm passionate about it, so I look at it. You understand? That's the anthropology, the study of man. I like it. I like to look at man, the languages. You know, how did that? In fact, I didn't know that linguistics had to do with the different language forms all over the world. I didn't know. So I'm going to become a student of linguistics. Amen. There's one little girl in my house who says she wants to study linguistics. So I'm going to study with her. You understand? So if you are Calabar, you don't know where you're coming from. They came from Calabar, they followed the river and came. There's one woman that came, that started the community. And she's a king. Don't you understand? She rules. You understand? The women are kings. So there's a spirit. So if you are born there and you're a woman, then that spirit is already working in your blood. Don't you understand? And so when you get married, you can never marry her completely. You only marry her flesh. When she's dead, what happens? Her bones have to go back to the ancestral. In fact, you have to take her to her mother's house to bury her. So, bro, am I in order? Okay. Do you understand? So, if you say I'm born again, what does that born again mean? How then do I relate to that born again? I can speak all the grammar. The spirits are waiting for me. You understand? After speaking the grammar, it's okay, calm down, brother. Have you landed? Okay, good. This is the custom of how we bury people. Amen. And the Bible says, let the dead bury the dead. There's one brother, his name is Tony. When they go to bury his mother, he said, God, he said, the Lord told me not to go. I said, they're burying your mother, you will not go. I couldn't understand. He said, the Lord said I should not go. And he didn't go. They were burying his mother and he did not go. So when they say some people have paid the price, they paid the price in this fellowship. Amen. So is it possible that God can tell you not to attend your mother's burial? Yes. It has happened. Amen. I thought I heard a big amen. Hallelujah. Because you understood the principle that you are dealing with, that there is a spirit. There's a spirit. Every community has a spirit ruling it. Amen. And if you do not discern the spirit, then you'll find out at some point that you are going to have issues. And Borebere was saying that there are gatekeepers. There are gates in life. When you are born, it's a gate. And that's where the spirits come to make a demand. That's when the sisters get pregnant. When someone is pregnant, goes to have the baby, there's usually a lot of fight. Because somebody is trying to establish his ownership. Amen. So if you're a young brother, you want to get married, I hope you know that one of the things that goes with it is there's going to be a contention. When you are one, having your children, there'll be a contention. Amen. People will come to you to say, you must pay toll, you must submit to us. So if you say you're not going to submit to them, then get ready for spiritual warfare. There's a scripture somebody read. It says, do not fear them that can hurt the body. But they cannot touch the soul. Amen. Amen. I want you to understand, the devil has authority to touch your body. And one of the things I'm finding out is that my soul is affected by what happens in my body or around me. So if the devil wants to touch my soul, he affects the things around me. Amen. Because he knows it's going to have an impact on my soul. That's the only thing he can do. But God is the only one that can touch my soul directly. Amen. So that makes it easy for me. So if I want God to touch me, I open my heart. I open my mind. And he can touch me. Amen. That is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God rules in the heart of men. If you are in Nigeria, there is the president of Nigeria. That is God's order. God says, stay and respect that man. Okay? But God rules in the heart of every man that will open his heart. That's where the kingdom of God is established, in the heart of men. But the kingdom of men are physical. So we are in the world. There's another kingdom. But when you get born again, you come into another kingdom, the real kingdom of God, which is in the heart. Amen. Amen. And in this heart, there is darkness. There are spirits of darkness walking. So that means that we have contentions within and contentions outside. So when you get born again, you're not just dealing with the systems outside, you are also dealing with issues within your heart. So the psalmist says, there are fightings within and there are fears without. Amen. So you have to fight with the world outside, and you have to fight with the kingdom of darkness, which wants to usurp the position of God in your heart and in my heart. Amen. So these gatekeepers, these gate places, marriage, being born again, burial, there are spirits that will make a demand. And that is why we have a lot of trouble at the time of marriage. Someone said, why can't I just be happy? It's not about you. It's about God. Amen.
Amen.
So we have issues because we are the mentality is the mentality of the world. Okay? You think that marriage is a day for me to be happy. It's the happiest day. Marriage cannot be the happiest day of my life. The happiest day of my life is the day I got born again. So Mark White was preaching, and he says, those who want to be born, before he finished, I was already born again before he finished. That's the happiest day of my life. I thought you would say amen. That's the happiest day. Amen. Marriage is important. Amen. But it's a natural arrangement. Because those who are coming to resurrection are coming to another kind of marriage. Don't you understand? So that those who are married should be as though they are not married. Don't you understand? Amen.
Amen.
So the thing is, the sexuality of Baal worship, sex is in the mind. So it's a time for me to express myself sexually. I must go to London and buy a white shoe, white handbag, white this. Then when I go, I must dance for making it. I don't know, I'm dancing by the Spirit. Amen. The problem is in the mind. Romans says, reckon yourself to be dead. It's in the mind. It's a mindset. If you are dead to the world, you know that marriage, Brother Huber will tell us, is a ministry. Brother, isn't that so? Marriage is a ministry. You are called to come into another level of ministry. Amen. Responsibility for the woman, responsibility for the man, the children are coming, the angels are watching. It is big. So it's beyond the eating rice. So on that day, you're spending so much time planning how much rice will cook. We like cook jollof rice and then put white rice and put jollof. Salad. Then you put moimoi was inside. You put fish. Then what's the other again? Put some goat meat. That half and soup. Then with that brother said that the brothers will eat that. I must have that. Who said you must have it? Amen. I attended one wedding, city council hall. After the wedding, the brother said. God bless you. If you need water, water is here. Today, The brother is still there. Amen. He has her children. The children are here. They do very well. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't you understand? Why must you break your head because salad and onion and chicken and goosey so must be there? Amen. It's a mindset. And it is because there are the things you are seeing around, we will see around, and we attribute it to social status. It's Babylon. It's Babylon. You know? So, we are seeing a situation where we have lost our calling. Amen. I remember one wedding my children and my wife went to. I wasn't around. I said, please go. They said it was good you didn't come. After 5 minutes, they left. End time wedding, they left. Amen. This is the answer, Babylon. We have lost our calling. So we need to go back again and retrace our roots. Amen. And realize that it's worship. The people of the world know it's worship. We call it entertainment. They say it's worship. Today we can't even get into it. Everything about it from beginning to head is worship. Everything. Both the one they wear on the head, the one you are carrying, the dress, everything is symbolic. Amen. You know, it's symbolic. So if you go to God, He will show it to you. So it's not as though somebody is trying to make a rule and so on. It is all symbolic. And it dates back to ancient times. We spoke about Easter. We spoke about Christmas. But let's talk about Christmas because let me read one or two scriptures about Christmas. Jeremiah 52:31. Don't worry, I'll soon finish. I'm doing very well. Jeremiah, our fellowship time has been shifted 1 hour forward now. Just like today. I hope you know today the time has shifted 1 hour forward. European people have joined us today, isn't it so? Say amen now, today they have joined us. Okay, so the time zones are now equalized from today. But for us, fellowship now starts by 11. You know, by 10 we have Bible study. So we have just started. We haven't gone too far. And it came to pass in the 7th and 30th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. That was the man you read today, Yago. In the 12th month, read with me now. In the 5th and 20th day. What day is that? 25th what? 25th December is in your Bible. Praise the Lord. I thought you said praise the Lord. That is the origin. It began from Babylon. It's inside the Bible. Press is there. 12th of December. 12 months. And on the 25th day. That evil Merodach, his name is even evil. Evil Merodach. King of Babylon. So there's nothing good about his name, self. Even his name is evil. What did he do? In the first year of his reign, the first year, he was a celebration. You know, it's like on every 25th, the governor of the state has to release some prisoners. Don't you understand? So in the first day, probably the first 100 days of his reign, he said, look, I have to do something good. Huh? He says he lifted up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and brought him out of prison. The president always does that. The governors always do that. Amen. They have to do something good. It's a route and all that. They will send a list. He will choose. These are the ones I will pardon. So, it didn't start in Nigeria. Where did it start? Way back. So December 25th is an ancient date. Amen. They were already keeping it even before Jesus was born. And Jesus was not born anywhere near December, I can tell you. You know, before I used to speak grammar, now I know. When I saw stone falling in the name of snow, I said, what is that? I said, snow, this is snow. I said, very good. I said, God, have mercy on me. I went to the man, I said, bring your hand, put. Move. Put. 1 hour, I was in the cold, putting my hand. So that they will read my passport. They say, passport, do you read? Card reader yesterday was, my own was with them. In the cold, snow was falling. They say, remove. Carried me inside, brought water. I had to wash my hands in the cold. Amen. So, in that cold, there is no way any shepherd would dare go to go out. Not just that by night. I can tell you, traveling in the snow by night, you don't try it. You don't try it. So why shepherds are keeping their sheep by night? An angel came, a host of angels came and said, behold, in the city of Bethlehem today is born unto thee him that will be the forgetting. It was not in December, not even in October, not even in September. Amen. Hallelujah. So what is the, my friend will say, kese. So what is the relationship of December 25th and the birth of Jesus Christ? None. Amen. So if Jesus was not born near winter, then how come somebody has smuggled the truth that he was born in winter? The only reason is that there's one man, his name is Nimrod, he was born on December 25th. Amen. So they're celebrating his birthday. Amen. And it so happens that the man was also killed. The man was killed by his uncle Shem. You won't find it in the Bible, but when you read his love, you will see it there. Amen. The man was so evil that the uncle said no. No, sorry, it was Kosh who killed him. He murdered him, killed him. And when they killed him, they said, oh my God, they have killed our Lord. And they mourned for him for 40 days. When a great man dies, don't you mourn for him? So because he was so great, they had to mourn for him for 40 days. That's how you have your fasting, 40 days of Lent. So they have weaved the whole system of religion around him. Amen. His birth, his burial, everything concerning him is worship. Amen. Alright, so the Easter thing, they came out with something. They said that his wife, who was his mother, so he had the mother and child worship. That his mother on Easter Monday saw her, she came out of her egg. So because of it, they worship and eat Easter eggs. They paint it very, very well. I've seen it. When we went to, Bro Huba carried me to Hungary. When we got there, we saw the eggs painted. They were eating Easter eggs. Amen. So, don't take anything for granted. Even that piece of paper you cut, you call it confetti. If I tell you what confetti is, you will run out of this place. That one they pour. You know, when the man and woman are passing, they are pouring confetti. Do you know what is confetti? Now they spray it. Whether you spray it or you cut paper, it is the same spirit. It has to do with fertility. Speaking of the seed of the man, that in ancient times the man will shower the woman with grain. That grain of rice is symbolic for the seed of life. The cake that you bake is called conferatio panis. Conferatio is, that's from where you get the word confectionery. And confection, you know. So it means they bake the cake as a form of worship to the fertility god, so that the marriage will be blessed. That's why you must eat the cake. If you want to eat cake, go to Mr. Biggs. Where again can you buy? In fact, even the Jumia, those Jumia saying about Jumia people are here. Many of them are here. You buy the cake from Jumia, cut it and eat. Then when you now have to dance for it, wear color for it. Now get ready. Cake is black, so all the men should wear ash. Cake is green, so all the women should wear gold color. It is worship of Nimrod, of Baal. Get ready. You, all the men, get ready. Yes, Babylon. And when we don't do it, the trouble comes. And the reason is because we do not understand that we are dealing with Baal worship. You are bringing a fire, you're bringing a spirit into the marriage. You know, so the whole thing goes the one the woman wears, what she wears is a dedication that she's not a priestess. And it is a submission to the ruling spirit that her marriage will be fruitful. That's what the tiara means. It's a consecration. So if God tells you to wear a hat, Kalisa, where did you wear a hat that day I saw you in 1994? Kalisa wore a hat in 1994. And she's still here. She's a fine sister, amen. How could you say amen? Amen. And broadcast, I won't tell you what he was wearing to hear this. So whether it's your heart or no heart, we will bless the marriage. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't have to shop for it. Amen. So you can go on and on and on. So the principles are there. That it is Babylon. Amen. They have a another one is just we thought it would never happen. My brother, October 31st is not a big thing in Nigeria. What happens on October 31st? They call it All Witches Day, Halloween. And see, and that's the thing about Babylon. Babylon has so many. There is economic Babylon. They buy and selling. And one of the things in Revelation that they buy and sell is what? The souls of men. Even the emotions are these souls. Everything is for sale. Amen. So, there is no way you can bring Halloween into the church. There is no way you can bring, what's the other one? Valentine. If God tells us to bring all the sisters together, we will do that. Haven't you met together before? Do you have to have a special day to do it? So you don't need to have All Singles Day on a particular day. If you want to have Singles Night, well, if God tells you to do that, fine, we will do so. But immediately you fix that day, February 14, 15, you are celebrating the Feast of Lupercalia. It's an ancient feast, and it's about sexuality. You know, the men and women, they run around and enjoy themselves. In my village, you know, I'm a village boy, I used to tell you, when the sun, when the moon is out there, Isaac used to do it, though. He will come out from outside and start playing moon game. You start drawing on the sand, start rolling around, and while you're doing some mischievous ones, after some time, you'll be seeing some people again. Cat knows because he used to do it. After some time, so the people you have, they were with you, they are not there anymore. Where are they from? You notice that the boys and the girls are reducing. Where are they going to? It's Lupercalia in Port Harcourt. Moon. When the moon comes, so that moonstruck, love struck, it's a time for sexuality. Amen. So there's no way you can bring it into the church. No name. There's no name that can leave it. It is celebration, the same Babylon that you're talking about. And today, somebody said, well, it's time to do our church anniversary. Did Jesus say to do anniversary? So they bring anniversary and make it on that day to try to make it good and to Christianize it. You know, so those are all the fertility ones. One of the things that is big in Babylon is title. It's big in Babylon, title. Amen. The man has to have a title. The bigger you are, the more title you used to have. Amen. And also the church. Where the man is a big brother, you can't just call him, he's a servant of God. Amen. You have to find a name for him. So whatever name you bring, you can never escape the hammer. I told you I would say amen.
Amen.
There is no name. Whether it's a servant brother or a big brother or it's a man of God. Any name you choose, it is a title. Amen. I am the brother of Jesus Christ. And he's the biggest title in the whole world. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Any other title you are bringing, it is. I know Nigerians like title. Amen. How much more the Nigerian church? So you can have doctor, professor, engineer, reverend, sir, JP. Apostle Bishop, the honorable man of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, we are coming to an end. Okay, let's touch one more, and I think we can we'll close with that. If you go to Genesis, the story of Cain and Abel is a classic example of two streams. Okay, the two shall be in the bed; one will be taken, one will be left. Okay, so Abel brought an offering. Cain also brought an offering. Amen. And God has called us to come to that place where we can bring an offering. Their father taught them that you cannot bring any offering that is not connected with blood. You must bring blood, because God shed blood and used the skin of the animal to cover Adam and Eve. So Adam knew and taught his children. Because Leviticus 17 says that the blood has been given to make atonement for sin. That's the blood. Okay, so they say, bring an offering. The man said, no. I'm going to bring my own offering the way I like it. Now, there is one alarm. Something that for me is an alarm. When I meet a brother or a sister or a group of people, they tell me it doesn't matter. That is the end, that friendship ends. That day, that friendship will end. Anybody that tells you it doesn't matter, if I'm you, I will run very far from him. Because that is the sign of destruction. It matters. Amen. If God put command, then that command is important. If I don't understand it, I will leave it. I say, this one I don't know. But when I meet some people say it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter that has brought the church to where it is, when you make an excuse. And the Bible says a little leaven leavens. That is the problem of Cain. God said specific blood. Say no. How can that bring something? I'm a farmer. Let me bless God from the fruit of my labor. After all, in Proverbs said, bring the first fruit. So if God gives a word, this is the way it should be done. That is the way it should be done. If somebody brings in, it doesn't matter. If it doesn't matter, we'll have to do this and that. Then you are bringing in a mixture. You are watching it and you are lowering the standard. And the mathematics people will tell you something called tangent. Do you know what is a tangent? Let me show you a tangent. This is a tangent. That's a tangent. That is a little shift. Amen. You cannot see it. It goes at the back. You say, what is that brother disturbing us? Telling us about tangents. Well, let's come here and see now. This one goes this way. This one goes that way. Amen. I'm not the mathematician. It cannot be the same. So when you deviate a little, how you judge the doctrine is not by following the doctrine. You look at the consequence of the doctrine. Amen. Amen. If I tell you we are all gods, no problem. You look at the consequence of all of us being gods. That's where you see the problem. If I'm a God, why do I need to call to fellowship? I start to pray to myself. He prays to the God in me. Eh? I can take a sister and say, today we are married. After I'm a God, I can decide to marry her. And any time I don't like, I also sack her anyhow. That's what destroyed the church. Because they began to go off on the tangent. Nobody wanted. They said, no. You have a liberty. You do not have a liberty. Amen. Because you must be judged by every word, and by every word has to be judged by two or three witnesses. So Cain was a deviation, and the Bible says God did not have respect to his offering. But somebody else, his own brother, who heard the same word, he brought an offering, a right offering. I want to tell you that there are those who are bringing the right offering. They are bringing the right offering. They may not be popular, and that's the other thing. You see, we've come to the point of a mass movement. You know, it is not the number. It's not the number. The advancement of the kingdom of God is not physical, it is spiritual. It is Christ that expands itself within the souls of men. Amen. Somebody can get a word, and for 10 years is struggling with it. It is Christ is expanding in him. And maybe the next day he might just bring forth one convert. We cannot judge him and say he has failed because the other brother has 1,000 converts. So because he has 1,000 converts, then the other brother that just has one convert is a failure. No. Amen. The advancement of the kingdom of God is within. Amen. Because the kingdom of God is within. What work is God doing in your soul? Amen. And if you realize that it all is measured by the fruit of Christ. Christ is planted in the soul, and there must be a fruit. Amen. So if you have received this word, incubate the word in your soul, in your mind. Let it affect your mind, your mindset. Let it affect your emotion. You know, for some time now, I have been in a place, I say, God, why am I so excited when I'm going to do natural work? They tell me there's a meeting. I won't sleep because there's a meeting tomorrow. I'll be dreaming about the meeting, what I will talk. What is the problem? You don't have that problem. I have the problem. Amen. I say, God, let my emotion come under your government. Amen. Amen. Let my emotion be controlled. Let me leave this scripture with you. Proverbs 16:32 and Proverbs 25:28. That is the close of Babylon. Amen. Can I tell you Proverbs 16:32? It's about sonship. That's the measurement of sons. If you say you're a son of God, that's that to measure yourself. Proverbs 16:32 and Proverbs 25:28. Okay, let's start from 16. He that is slow to anger. Anger is speaking about the emotions. Amen. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
The emotion is like a lion. That means that this word is saying that I have a lion dwelling in me. You understand? God is doing an experiment with me. Don't you understand? The people from my village, their own emotion, you don't discuss it. When they discuss emotion, they can tear down the roof. I was going to mention some names. I don't know how to tell you now. The people, I know one brother. His brother, when he shouts, you better run away. And it so happens that brother behaves like his own brother. Don't you understand? Eh? Their father is a chief. Do you know the brother now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, no problem. So, God, when you say you are born again, God says you are welcome to the experiment. You have wild emotion, no problem. Yeah? You have wild desire, no problem. That is the measure of sonship. He that is slow to anger is what? Has more strength than the man that has physical strength. Hallelujah. That's sonship. That's dominion. Say, have dominion over the beast of the earth. The beast of the earth is the emotions.
Amen.
The fowls of the earth, things of your mind, have dominion. Rule over them. Amen. I say, and he that ruleth his spirit, that he that takes the city. This is the city now. And God is looking for sons who will have dominion over the city. Amen. Say, O city of God, glorious things are spoken of thee. And this one and that one, we are born in thee. All my springs are in thee, O God. Are you growing to be a son? Are we becoming like those people who want to measure tabernacle and build it? Amen. Or are we those who want to leave it out? Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. This is that tabernacle. Don't you understand? So God says, I will make a new covenant. I will put my spirit in them. Paul said, we are no longer under the law. Under the law was not talking about the emotions. The law was not talking about the desire. Don't you understand? The law was not talking about the mindset. They say, I will make a new covenant. In this one, I'm going to talk about the inward part of man. Amen. Hallelujah. Brethren, that's what we are called to be sons. Amen. To have dominion. Everything in the holy place, you always see a crown. You go to the lampstand, you see a crown. One is pointing down, the other one is pointing up. The down one is for experience. The up one is for sonship. Amen. That is where my soul comes into dominion, authority. Amen. Amen. Oh, say amen now. Amen. Let me give you one scripture. It says, the foolish man and the prudent man. So the prudent man sees the evil coming. What does he do? He hides himself. But the foolish man, what does he do? He doesn't see it. He wants to. It's called discernment. It has to do with the senses of the mind. Let me tell you, the whole soul is filled with eyes. The more mature you are, the more the eyes of your understanding is opening. You're able to perceive. Now, the word perceive means to see things that the ordinary eye does not see. And this brother taught us about the razor. I don't forget the message. He taught us about the razor, the Nazarite. In that hall, the brother said in that hall. When you're a Nazarite, your hair is growing long. You know that immediately they put the razor on it, you are going back to origin. You are starting afresh. So when you see the razor, you run away. Amen. Because Samson had these seven locks. They cut it. He had to wait for the locks to grow again. Amen. You see, we need prudence.
Amen.
My soul needs to grow up to discern evil. Prudence, let me tell you what it means. It means, this is my own definition, it means to have skill and good judgment in the disposition, is it big grammar?
No.
In the disposition of the chambers of the soul. That's my own definition. The chambers of the dictionary will tell you it is skill and good judgment in the use of resources. As a manager, you are prudent. Say prudential insurance. Because if you are prudent, you don't waste anything. Eh? I mean, he worries this man because he said, look, this month, let's buy the things ahead. If I go and buy this Indomie, buy one packet. I could have just bought 3 cartons and keep because it's cheaper. That's called prudence. You don't want to waste resources. Amen. The soul needs to be prudent. Hallelujah. It's called wisdom. Don't you understand? And wisdom is what? The principal thing. Amen. When the soul is wise, you know when to how to display your emotions. You know how to speak. Let me give you one example. Say the fool uttered everything in his heart, but a wise man will do what? Will keep it back till after. When I read it, I'm on the floor. Because if I meet you, I'll tell you all my plans. We are brethren. Are you not brethren? Oh, Jesus, have mercy on your son. Amen. We need wisdom. Wisdom is what? The principal thing. So I saw a young man void of what? Understanding. In the twilight, 6 o'clock. In the black night, 9 o'clock. In the midnight, 12 o'clock. Where is she? She was going past the house of Brother Mark says, it is not when you are at the door of the restaurant, of the bar, that you pray for deliverance. You know, Brother Mark, that brother that came here, he says, it is not when you are in front of the bar that you pray for deliverance. You should have asked for deliverance long ago. It's called wisdom. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. If you have problem with bar, don't go near the bar. Because if you are in front, you are already inside. Yes. Amen. May God give us wisdom. Yes. Amen. We need wisdom, brethren. Okay, let's get the next one, then we'll close. 25, 28. Okay. Now this is an expanding. The last scripture, Proverbs 16. It says, what does it mean to rule over your own city? It says, he that has no rule over his own spirit is what? Is like a city that is broken down without war. That means I have failed like Adam. You know, Adam was put in the city. Say, guard it. Huh? And while he was visiting here and there, somebody entered inside and began to speak English with him. Amen. The Bible says that the Assyrian will not walk in anymore.
Amen.
Amen. You know what is Assyria? Assyria is the heavy weight of flesh. Huh? Let me tell you, the soul that is falling is I use the word serpentine. That is, it is hugging the earth. That is the Philistine. It's earthbound. You understand? The energy, the excitement I get is from listening to news. But there is a new nature. Amen. Where the things that excite me is when I hear the voice of God. Amen. That is the spiritual man. And that man is the man that has come into the holy place. So when we talk about Babylon, it's not church. We are speaking about overcoming Babylon is the people that are overcoming the natures of darkness within them. You can't organize it. It doesn't need air conditioned room. Well, if you bring air condition, praise God, the air conditioned room will be a problem. Amen. I thought you would say amen.
Amen.
Okay, the amen is reducing, so I think I should close that go away. No, what I mean is, what God has called me and you is to overcome the darkness within. The external arrangement is secondary. Amen. Whether we are in a long haul or a short haul, whether we are in a room or outside, is it relevant? The real issue is what? It's within. The kingdom is within. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul said, God did not call me to do baptism. I said, but his baptism is not part of his work. Do you understand? Until now, I understand. God didn't call him to baptize. God called him to overcome the darkness in his heart. Amen. I only baptized you. Only God knows. So you make sure you learn for people. But then God didn't call us for organization. God didn't even call me to be an elder. It was the name this brother gave me. I just want to say, yeah, right. I'm a son. I want to be a son. Amen.
Amen.
I want to overcome as a son. Amen. Don't you understand? That's what God has called. All this other one, elder, brother, this one, preach. Forget it. God is looking for sons. And sonship is on the board. It's, I must have dominion over my soul. Amen. Because there is darkness in it. If you look well, you will see it. But they say that as long as Moses is read, that there is a veil over the mind. Don't you understand? That mind you have, there is a veil covering it. And that veil must be broken. So that when you shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be broken. If we have to, you know, carry out certain logistics just to, so that we can get on with the business of receiving the word, then let it remain just minor logistics. Amen. Say amen now. Logistics cannot be the word God has called us for. Amen. But you see, when we are not careful, we now pay more attention to logistics. You are a young woman, young sister, young brother, you want to get married. You spend 3/4 of your time thinking of logistics. You're not thinking of, how will I make these brethren create an atmosphere that of anointing? That when this man comes, he starts shouting and rolling on the floor. Eh? The anointing is flowing everywhere. Then, the bondages that I'm coming from, the bondages that the sister is coming from, will be broken. Don't you know it requires anointing? There's anointing and there's anointing. I'm not hearing amen. That's what you want in your marriage. Amen. Who spend 90% of the time running all over from Rumokoro to Aba to everywhere. We are arranging drums and plates and the ribbon. And what else again are we doing? I didn't say it's not, if God tells you to do, but understand that there are logistics. How shall we spend so much time on logistics and not spend time on the meat of the substance? Amen. That will say it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we're hoping that the next marriages we'll have will be different.
Amen.
The next burials.
Amen.
The next children.
Amen.
Our life from now. Amen. Let there be something different. Amen. Let's understand the burden, what God has called us for. If somebody said to me that, from what is happening, it means that the brethren in this fellowship, that you have carried this burden, you have seen it. I laughed. I said, yes. We are not perfect, though, but there is something God has shown us. Amen. And that's what we are sharing, that there has to be a people that will overcome.
Amen.
There must be a remnant. And maybe our desire to be part of that remnant.
Amen.
And it's an ever learning process. I cannot tell you. You know my faults. Now I don't need to advertise my faults to you. I have so many of them. Okay. So if somebody tells you that it is perfect, forget it. So I'm not perfect. None of these brethren are perfect. You know. But Bible says, forgetting the things that are behind, and doing what? Looking forward to that which is set ahead of us. You see, you can dwell in the past. Errors, offenses, shortcomings. It's still part of Babylon. It's another deception. But brethren, the best is yet to come. So, you have heard the word. You have heard it before, you are hearing it now, God is speaking to you. You can recommit yourself to this word. Amen. You can recommit yourself. Say, God, I am going to overcome. For me and my household, we are going to overcome. And Paul said, preach this word. Let the advancement of it be clear to you and those that will hear you. So determine that as many people that you come in contact with, that are going to get the right word. Don't bother about those that you cannot reach. But where you are and the people in the circle of your influence, that this is the testimony that you are going to stand with. Come rain, come sunshine. Unless God brings a better revelation, I'm going to hold this one. Amen.
Amen.
When God gives you a light, He holds you on it. He will test you on it. Amen. When the light becomes brighter, we will hold on, we will move higher and will become more committed. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I think we're done. Amen.